Thanks for tuning in to Beer Here, a weekly podcast on WFMU.org, and also a blog at beerhere.blogspot.com.
We've been a little bit absent the last week or two with the holidays and everything, making it difficult to translate all the beer drinking we've been doing into podcasts. But that all changes now with a new podcast.
This week, we have an interview with Josh Bernstein, who is the author of the recently released book Brewed Awakening, Behind the Beers and Brewers Leading the World's Craft Brewing Revolution.
It's a great-looking book, it's a fantastic read, and it makes a wonderful holiday present.
We spoke with Josh at one of his local pubs, Minor Arcana, in Prospect Heights, Brooklyn. So we're sitting here in Brooklyn at Josh Bernstein's local. Josh is the author of the newly released Brewed Awakening book about beer, of course.
Beer.
Welcome, Josh.
Happy to be here.
What inspired you to write Brewed Awakening?
Oh, good gosh. I would say many, many, many beers. But I'm 33 now. I've been a journalist for 11 years, focusing on beer, food, travel, spirits, and primarily beer. You know, the last 7 or 8 years have seen just a big sea change in the way American craft brewing has really been happening. I mean, there's a new beer or a new style that's been released every single week, if not every single day, it seems like. And what I love about writing about craft brewing is that there's the people and their stories and the passion and creativity. It's not like a lot of people you talk to where you push a button and you get this rote answer. What you find with a lot of craft brewers is like their stories and their ideas and their heart is on the line with this, and it's something they really, truly, deeply care a lot about. And so for me, what I've been trying to do as a journalist over these many years is actually tell their stories in the best way possible, because you could be a great brewer, but you're not a great storyteller. And so what I hope to be is, while they make the great beer, I have to relay their story to the public. And then a few years ago, the publisher has been reading my stories in, I used to work for Gourmet, and then I worked for Imbibe, which is a drinks magazine out of Portland. Worked for them for years, and then the publisher kind of came to me out of the blue, which I got this random email and was like searching for Josh Bernstein beer book, and now it was just like, it's like another spam folder thing where you're like, you almost hit delete, but then I didn't. I looked at it and then wrote him back. Then we had a little conversation about it. And originally they wanted me to do a book on stouts. And so I was like, well, okay, I'll do a book on stouts, just because it's great just to do a book no matter what. I mean, a book on beer, I love writing about beer. But then the more we thought about it was, it seems really boring if you're talking about like how great American craft brewing is and how great the inventions are nowadays, to just do something about stouts, which, you know, it would have catered to like dad that likes Guinness or like likes ponying up at the bar for something like that. And so, but what's really crazy is the people resuscitating Gozas and like and using really crazy wild hops to create new interesting IPAs, double IPAs, triple IPAs if you want to go that far. Or not that I actually believe in a triple IPA, but the crucial thing is just innovation and invention, and that's what's happening with craft brewing.
Right. And one thing I found interesting was that, you know, you didn't start with a history of beer. This is, you know, the first craft brewery in the U.S. was this, and this was the decline after Prohibition. It almost takes off from a point of people now are aware of the craft beer movement. So you don't have to start from the basics. Although, I mean, it is still a very approachable book in terms of if you don't know a lot. If you know Anchor and you know Sierra, you know Brooklyn, but that's about it. You know, it's still basic enough that people learn, but on the other hand, you assume that people have some knowledge, which is encouraging, that people, oh yeah, it's a commonplace thing now to have craft beer.
Well, I think there's a big gap between the knowledge of someone that knows a Sam Adams, and they know Sam Adams like a different beer, they know a Sierra Nevada, they've seen it at the airport bars, which I think to me, as an avid traveler, seeing Sierra Nevada and Sam Adams airport bars now is just like, I mean, that's a godsend at most places across the country. But it is. It's just, why start at the beginning? Because we're not at the beginning anymore. And there's been a million books that are out there that say this is where American beer was. Maureen Ogle did a great job with Ambitious Brew talking about, like, the rise and fall of American beer. And, like, I don't need to rehash that. And even just, like, truncating it so much wouldn't really do it justice. And so jumping off point is really now. And I think it's what's been happening in the last 5-10 years and where we're going the next 5-10 years. And so what I think we were just talking about a bit earlier on is just that what we assume is common knowledge is stuff that's only now trickling down into the marketplace. You know, IPAs are only now really hitting mass saturation in grocery stores, where I think they're the top selling style right now. And yeah, and that's something where you talk about people that love craft beer, IPAs, and it's like, oh, IPAs, that was so 5 years ago. But nowadays, it's really becoming the thing that the rest of the world, the rest of the country is really getting into.
Well, it was when Sam Adams initially was like, ooh, that's a special beer. And that was for a lot of people, that was the fancy beer. And there's always a step up, another step up.
One thing that strikes me about your book, Josh, is design. This is a really beautifully designed book, and I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that.
You know, it's a very modern publishing age where, you know, with Kindles and computers and everything else, it's really hard to just put words on the page or words on the screen and have anyone care. And I think, first of all, for the book, what I think I try to get after is, like, craft beer is fun, and, like, drinking beer is fun with people, and oftentimes I think that's kind of lost in the dialogue of ABVs and IBUs, that beer should be a fun thing to share with people. It shouldn't be the engine that drives all conversation, but it should be something that enables conversation. And so for this book, I try to use as a guidepost, where I try to create it's almost a scrapbook style, where, like, lots of use of duct tape on the pages and torn pictures and lots of doodles and all of it. And, you know, it's not to diminish the quality of the writing, it's just to find a more accessible way to talk about craft beer, because I think it does, with craft beer, for people that don't really get into it, it can be a very intimidating world, that for people to really say to themselves, like, what's an imperial stout, and how is it different, and what's a Kolsch, and what's all these, and why do these beers matter, and then there's a big shelf and a big tap list, and how do I actually get into that? And so what I try to do for the book, you open up almost any page in the book, and you can find something to dive into, and information that you can really, you know, information you can grab onto, and it's not done in a way where you have to read it straight from start to finish. I mean, my dad probably hate me for saying this, but, you know, he was like, it's the bathroom book for me now, where I can just pick it up and, he's like, I can pick it up and read it when I want to read it. And
that's a compliment.
It's a compliment.
You might want to say coffee table book.
Yeah. Can we, a coffee table bathroom book? I think we've developed a new genre here, the coffee table bathroom book. But it is. It's like, it looks good and it feels good in your hand. So it's almost like a coffee table book, I think, that you can actually read and want to handle. And that's what I really tried to go after for the book. And, like, honestly, I got the pictures, wrote the content, but the designers did a bang-up job on it.
We'll have a picture of the cover on the blog, which is beerhere.blogspot.com. But there's an image of a coaster, and the coaster itself has an imprint of a little bit of beer on it. And at first I thought, I just brought this book home, and Bob put a beer on top of it. Now I've got a beer stain on the cover. Graphically, it is very appealing. It's very nice.
And also, it is a book that you could just pick up at any point and just start in the middle and read it and enjoy it. It's not necessarily a start at page one and go linearly straight through.
Yeah, and I didn't intend for people to have to read it linearly straight through. The book is loosely organized around about 8 sections, but within those 8 sections, there's a lot of variance. And then I think what craft beer is great is just a sense of exploration you can have walking into a bar, walking into a beer store, and trying a different style, trying a different brewery, and then it's like transports you to a different world. And so I try to get at that in the book, where, like, craft beer is not a journey that starts in the beginning and ends at, you don't start at, like, a nice, like, pale ale and end up at, like, double IPA is like a barrel aged stout. It's like, it's just, you're allowed to hopscotch around a little bit, and I think that gets across in the book a little bit.
For the breweries that you chose to focus on in the book, was there any defining criteria? Are these ones that are newer to you, or ones you think that are more adventurous, more unique, more creative? How did you decide on which breweries to focus on?
That was actually a real challenge, and there are more than 1,700 breweries in America, thousands more around the world, and then you run the risk of saying, I didn't include the right person, didn't include that, but it's like, what I tried to do is focus on people I thought really, these styles of beer, I tried to focus on each section, it spoke to them for certain reasons, and it was ones they felt strongly passionate about. Like, I was getting into talking to Mitch Steele at Stone all about his Sublimely Self-Righteous Ale, which is a black IPA, and what drives Stone to do that, and then what made him really get into that style. And then how it went from being, to say, you know, a one-off to being something that was now it's on their everyday rotation.
Have you gotten any hate mail yet saying, why did you include this brewery, or why didn't you include that brewery?
You know what? It's not even hate mail so much as, like, people are weird in the sense that they want to see their breweries in there. And if they're not in there, sometimes they're like, huh. or why do you include this beer? Because, I mean, you know, craft beer just like... people get freaking irritated and they just get angry and they're just like, this is my favorite beer in the world, how could you not believe this same thing? It's like on this book tour I've been doing, people come up to me and they, most people are pretty gracious because I think most beer people are good people, but there's definitely this like, you know, 0.0001%, as happens in any like sub niche, which craft beer is still a niche as much as I like to think it's like a big giant world, that they just want to prove their mettle. It's almost like comic book guy from The Simpsons, like, I have Batman number one, and I know this. And they're like, I was at Rogue in Portland, and, you know, at the Green Dragon Brew Pub, which is a great place, great beer. They do the Oregon Brew Crew there, where they, which is a homebrew club, and they let them brew beer there, and they serve it on tap, which is a super rad thing. It's like what I talk about in the book, like the blurring of the line between amateur and pro. Or if you shut your eyes and someone puts a gun to your head, can you tell if it's like an amateur professional beer? Oftentimes, you know, amateur beer can be better than pro beer. And so, but this guy came up to me and was just basically like, it's like, I don't need this book. Why do I need this book? They're like, I know all this about this beer. And I'm just like, but I'm not, you don't have to have this book. It's just like, it's just out there in the world right now, man. He didn't even toast me with the beer.
So. Oh, no.
BR gave me an idea regarding your book tour. Maybe when you do a signing, you could have a pint of beer and you can make a little beer ring on the coaster on the cover.
You know what? That would be nice. My own little special, like Josh Bernstein beer ring. Like a little fire burnt like edge on there.
It'll save you, you won't get carpal tunnel syndrome because you'll be able, instead of signing all the books, you just have their own.
My signature has become like this looping whirl and it just goes around and around and around. What was that thing they had when we were growing up? Like, you know, you put your pen
spiral,
in it.
Spirograph.
My signature's become a spirograph in a lot of respects, where you just put your pen in there and it just goes around these looping whirls and it ends up in a certain direction. For some of the brewers I chose, I tried to find the passion and creativity they're going after, like, and kind of go against the grain. Like the Alchemist in Vermont, they're known for their Heady Topper, which is a really big, burly IPA, double IPA actually, and it's like, it's delicious. But what really interests me is what John Kimmich, the brewer, did for his wife Jen, whereas they thought she was really sick for a while, crippling stomach pain, and then, you know, the first reaction is stomach cancer, which is a terrible thing, which... The real answer was that she had a gluten intolerance, which for a brewer's wife...
It's my worst nightmare, is I will be gluten intolerant.
So what he ended up doing, he was just like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make the best gluten-free beers for my wife. And so gluten-free beer is kind of a segment right now where it's like a lot of... where it's like what Budweiser was at. It was like they're trying to hit the broadest swath possible. And so just because there's not enough, like, there's not enough need... or desire for gluten-free beer. I guess needs are just desire for gluten-free beer. But he's making Celia Saisons, nicely hopped gluten-free beers, and won a lot of medals for it. And it was like, but something that spoke to like his desire to make something for his wife, but actually translates well into the larger world. Someone that cares that much about something, and like care and quality and passion and creativity is really what's driving the craft beer movement.
I'll have to say, if you include The Alchemist but not Hill Farmstead in your book, right there's a glaring omission.
But you know, Hill Farmstead came along too late because you're talking book publishing, and book publishing works too far in advance. Where Hill Farmstead didn't really come onto the scene until 2011, or maybe 2010, 2011, when I was pretty deep into writing the book, and so by then, you're just...
As a beer person, I've got to, you know, I've got to have a critique. You're not including one of my favorite breweries.
It's
not there.
It is, but you know, I started working on the book February 2010, signed off May 2011, and then that was another issue, is just that going through, and the craft beer industry is shifting so quickly and so, I mean, it's like insanely on a daily basis that it's hard to really keep up to date with all of it. I mean, I was up there with a red correction pen up until the last minute going through there. You know, Greg Hall stops being the brewmaster of Goose Island, and then, you know, Widmer changed the name of their beer from, you know, Sunburn Summer Brew to Citra Blonde, and it's just, you have to keep on top of that, and like you'd like to include anyone, but unfortunately it's not a yearbook, and that's what it's like. That's what I tell people. It's like, it's not a high school yearbook of craft beer in 2011. But if there's a revision, Hill Farm still will be in there because they make great stuff.
Well, thanks, Josh. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us at one of your locals, which is...
Minor Arcana on Washington Avenue in Prospect Heights, 2-for-1 from 4 to 8 and 12 craft beers, which I love.
Very sweet deal.
Thanks and cheers.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast and the blog at beerhere.blogspot.com. Our resolution for the new year, don't be late with podcasts and blog posts.
We hope you have a beery Christmas and hoppy New Year. and may your Hanukkah glasses never run out of beer.
At least not for 13 days.
Isn't it 8 days?
Yeah, well, I'm pushing the limits here. And for those tuning in this week,
join us at Blind Tiger Ale House on Thursday, the 22nd of December, from 6 to 10 p.m., where our friends at Lagunitas are hosting a toy drive in conjunction with Toys for Tots, where if you bring a new, unwrapped present, you will receive $2 off a beer of your choice from participating breweries.
And I do believe you get a free pint glass to take home as well.
At least you get entered into a raffle.
Hope to see you there.